start? Okay, so first thing is to oh, here are the good chalks, good. So what did I want to say? Yeah, maybe another sort of relatively efficient way of imagining these things in 4D. In fact, it was mentioned by Esther. This was the inflation map. So I want to say it again. Let me try to. Oh my God! I'm such a lousy drawer. Oh. Okay. So just as an example, what does this mean in 4D? Okay. So this inflation map that Esther was mentioning had two steps. So let me describe the two, let me do it as a two-step procedure, except only one I can do on the board. The other has to happen on, in your imagination, because it's, well, it's in 4D. Okay? So, first of all, you replace each band, sorry, each arc by a little band. Okay, but so you know, a cap becomes an end of a band. So basically, the bands go like this. When a band goes under something, it goes thin. When it goes and then it sort of cuts through, or it goes like this, okay? And when, I guess here, it just goes like that, and, oh yeah, so I'm not consistent about the orientations. Anyway, this is the first step, okay? So I make it into a band where I or a long band, right? And then I interpret every virtual crossing as maybe a better picture would be to make it even thinner. So basically, I interpret every virtual crossing as two bands passing above each other, and every honest crossing as two bands going through each other, where one is the inner and the other is the outer. Okay? And then, so this is the first step, and then the second step is that I inflate it to R4, or Esther inflates it to R4, and the way this is done is, well, you see, this thing bounds a disk. Quite clearly, so you make, so you keep this picture in R3, but you make two copies of this disk. One you push up a bit in R4, and one you push down a bit in R4. So you push one copy to t greater than 0, and the other copy to t smaller than 0. Where the amount of push is proportional to your distance from to the distance from the boundary. Okay? So now this looks like a tube in R4. I cannot draw it, but you can, well, we can still manipulate it even if I cannot draw it. Okay? So this becomes a tube in R4. Well, a tube, but it's capped on both ends, so it's really a sphere in R4. The lines here, which appear to be singularities, so there are two lines here that look like they're singularities in the projection to R3, but they're not singularities in R4, because, you know, this membrane gets pushed up, or down, but anyway, it gets pushed more than that membrane because it is wider. So, because it's the outer one. So in our fold, this is not singular. And again, Esther made pictures of that over here. So this is sort of the nature of the knots that I'm studying. Okay? Anyway, you know what? No. Anyway, I was going to tell you about relations, and there is a whole lot, and I'll go through it quickly, but roughly, here's what they are. So there is Rademeister 2, which looks like this, okay? And in picture world, in ribbon world, it will look like a wide ribbon and a thin ribbon cutting into it, disappearing on this side, cutting into it back again and reappearing on this side, right? And I can clearly slide it out, and the inflated picture, which I cannot draw, but you can imagine, slides out just as well. So Rademeister 2 still holds. And again, Esther also showed us sort of the same thing in a flying rings image. Okay? So there is Rademeister 2. There is likewise Rademeister 3. This is equal to, I don't know what the other side of Rademeister 3 is, but you do. I mean, basically all it is you slide this one down, and clearly you can do it. I mean, it all works. Okay? Then there are Rademeister 3. Then there are virtual Rademeister 1, 2, 3, which in some sense are non-relations. Okay? I mean, it's this which is nothing equal to nothing. It's this which is nothing equal to nothing. And it's the last one which is also nothing equal to nothing. These are really just artifacts of projections. Then there is the detour move, which says that this is equal to that. Okay, and again, in ring picture, let's try to draw it. In ring picture, yeah. So, two things flying through each other, right? But, well, again, I have only two hands. Now, the problem is not the dimensionality, but my hand count. Pretend that I'm a spider or something, a Martian. Okay, from... Anyway. So these things fly through each other, and in the background, this one flies behind the whole picture. And it's clear that it could fly behind this whole picture, either before the interaction or after the interaction. Or it could fly in front of the whole picture, it's still equivalent, okay? Or if I wanted to do it in ribbon universe, in half-inflated world, it would look like this. So this is the two that actually cross each other, and that's the third one, and you can slide it up above with no pain, okay? Then there is overcrossings commute, which says, what does it say? Overcrossings commute. So you can slide this to be that. Okay? And in ring world, Ringworld isn't there a science fiction book, Ringworld? Oh, no, it's Discworld or something, sorry. There's also Ringworld, I think. Anyway, in Ringworld, so remember, this one is sort of above, so it's the big ring, okay? So I have a big ring, and I have a little one here, other, and then here. Alternatively, okay, so they could clear, I could slide the whole interaction between these two through the big ring, okay? And I'm not sure, I don't want to draw it in, well, do I want to draw it in this language? Why not, actually? So in this language, one side will look like this, and the other side, will look like this, except here is the big ring, and I can just slide it up above. So this is overcrossing's commute. But there is also, but equally well, it's good to know what you cannot do. So let me draw the undercrossing commute relation. So the same thing, but with those replaced by under. So this would be the undercrossing's commute. It will look like this. And this is a non-relation, okay? And the reason is, well, okay, in ring picture, so now the green one is the tiny and the other two are big, okay? And, well, and the green one, well, no, let's make, since my things are already, okay. So the blue one is tiny and the other two are big. So the big ones interact, but the green ones fly through both of them. And basically, so you can think of the blue one as making a string, as the path of it being a string. And when these two fly through each other, the path of that string gets messed up, okay? Or alternatively, in this language, it would look like this. So one side would look like that. Sorry, but now this one flies through. And again, if you try to lift this one through the interaction of the other two, it just gets messed up. You fail. No, sorry, this was supposed to be virtual. Oops, I had it wrong. Again, sorry. What?
The one below.
No.
Yeah, the picture below, the top crossing of over.
Sorry?
The top crossing of overcrossing commute. The picture below.
Oh, this one. Oh, you're right. This one should have been a virtual as well. You're right. Yeah, but still I can slide it up. But here I cannot. Okay? Okay, I guess there is more, but it's time to take pictures. So, so I think, well, I will show a little more. I will not show all that there is. So then there are relations that involve the various extra things, the when, the cup, the... So let me start with the cup. So let me see. This, no, actually I did it wrong. This is equal to that. Yeah. So if I have a cup and it cups a thin tube, I can slide it through a thicker tube. Remember, the above one is the thicker one. Okay? So and you know the picture, the half inflated picture would look like this. Okay, I can clearly slide this out. However, the other side is a non-relation. So again, there is a breaking of symmetry between over and under. So, right, if you have so let me draw the other side. So this checks here, you can slide stuff out, but here you cannot, okay? I think that's the only interesting relation I have about the... Okay. Then there are relations having to do with whens. So all of them are very easy. But okay, so if you have a when, going under something, you can slide it to the other side. So this is equal to that. Right? And the ring picture is if you have a big ring and a small ring, the small ring twists and then goes through, well, equally well it could go through and then twist and there is clear homotopy between the two. However, not the other way around. And in fact, not the other way around. Okay? So again, there is a breaking of symmetry. So not, I guess I can just write it. So this is not equal to to that. However, a pair of whens cancel. So two whens is equal to nothing. There are lovely ways to visualize it, but basically flipping and flipping again, you can, flipping and then flipping back, I could just flip less each time until I don't flip at all, okay? So this is equal to that, and a corollary of the non-equality of this is that, a crossing like that with two whens on the two side, on the two sides, is actually not equal to the same thing without the two whens, because you would wish to flip to slide the when to the other side and then cancel, but you cannot slide the when. So there is this non-equality, and in fact Esther was showing it too. You see, because you can check, so when I defined the inflation map, there was a bit of a convention to decide on. So, and I wasn't clear about it. Okay, I wasn't specific about it. There is a bit of a convention to decide on, which is, you see, the under one should fly through the top one, through the upper one, the thing through the thick. But it could do it in two ways. It could do it either the way I wrote it here, or or it could do it like that. Right, there are two different ways it could have happened. And it's a choice of convention. What does the ordinary crossing correspond to in four dimensions? And I'm not sure what my I'm sure what my convention is, but I'm not ready to in real time compare if this agrees with my convention or not. Okay, but my convention is either of the two possibilities, but at any rate they differ by a pair of whens, because clearly all that they differ by is you need to twist the outside one before and after the crossing. Okay, then there are more relations, but I think I will should I say more? So you know what, I could say more, but I think I prefer to skip. Okay, and therefore I'm also skipping the answer to Ellen's question, which is what exactly is the difference between these two, because the difference between these two is more visible when you talk about the relations in which they participate. Okay? But I want to skip it because I want to actually start constructing invariants, and I already have enough to do that.
George, just how many relations are there total?
I don't know. I never counted. Okay, I mean, I have a list, I've never counted. But they're all, none of them is, this is as complicated as it gets, the Rider-Meister 3s. Basically, you think of all possible combinations of these things which involve just, you know, the same complexity, and you write anything. And what makes, and why is obviously a relation is obviously a relation, and why is obvious, and what is not obviously a relation is not a relation. Okay? I never listed them in you know, with 1 to 22.
There's like 20 of them or something, is that?
Probably 20 of them with the amount of information that I'm allowing, given that I'm allowing the one-dimensional stuff as well. So, all of 20.
Thank you.
Okay, but again, it doesn't burden your mind. It doesn't require any memorization. They're all obvious. Okay. Sure.
About the wind, is that what it's called?
The winds.
The wind.
Yeah.
Is there any relation between this flip and some geometric structure? For example, if you not allow this winds, you get some hyperbolic structure?
No, not hyperbolic. No, it's not related to hyperbolic geometries. It is related to, there is a subclass of the, there is a sub-theory where you do not allow the winds, and then it's a condition about the orientations. Or everything has to be oriented more strictly. Okay? Okay. Now let me talk about invariants. By the way, So by the way, I did describe, I think, all the relations that involve the creatures that I talked about. So I mean, I didn't talk about, you know, these, but I did describe all the relations involving the creatures that I did talk about. Okay? Oh, maybe one more is missing. A wing near a cup can slide off. You can slide a cup. So basically, where should I put it? I don't know. Let's put it here. When near a cup, so this is equal to just a cup. And the rationale, or the half proof, the half of the inflation, is that if you have a, well, if you are to inflate this, you can clearly twist it, and I mean, it's like inflating that. Okay. Okay. There are two maps. Okay. There are. Okay. There is a map from the U universe to the W world. And then there is a map from the W world into 2D in R4. Okay, this map is this inflation map, or the tube map of Sato. Okay, and I've just explained it. This is a completely algebraic construct. It's just generators modulo relations. The generators are all these pictures, and the relations are all the relations that are mostly listed. Okay? The U world is, well, in the narrow sense, it's just Knot's modulo Rider-Meister moves without virtual crossings. So, you know, if you wish, it's the planar algebra generated by a crossing and modulo Rider-Meister 2 and Rider-Meister 3. Okay? In the wider sense, you will allow some trivalent vertices here as well, and I will get to it when it's time. Okay? But I do want to say two things about this. First of all, this map is one-to-one, and sort of understood. Okay? And the reason it is one-to-one, so I guess the moral is, if I study anything here, I don't lose any information. I study all of knot theory. The loss of information will come later. There will be a loss of information, but not right now. Okay? Furthermore, even this map is one-to-one. And in fact, the way you prove that this map is one-to-one, sorry, the way you prove that this map is one-to-one is by proving that this map is one-to-one. Anyway, the reason that this map is one-to-one is because both two-dimensional stuff in R4 and one-dimensional stuff in R3 have fundamental group of the complement. And you can check that the fundamental group is preserved. So this map of this tube map preserves the fundamental group of the complement, and the fundamental group of the complement plus a tiny bit of data determines new stuff. And you can check that the tiny bit of data is also preserved. Okay? So this map is one-to-one. The second map here is onto. So any two-dimensional ribbon knot in R4 can be reached by inflating a picture such as this one. Okay? Of course, the combination is not onto, because you might have to inflate something that has a virtual crossing. So for example, this two knot in R4 is not in an image of an ordinary knot in R3. Okay? So the second map is onto, this map is not onto, but the second map is onto. Once you allow the virtual crossings, you can reach anything. That requires a little bit of work, but not too much. Okay? And the big question that Esther was referring to is, I don't know if this map is one-to-one. In other words, I don't know if the list of relations that I have is the complete list of relations in the in a Rademeister style description of ribbon knots in R4. And I think this is a significant open problem in topology. You know, when you look at problems in topology, usually they take an hour to formulate. Well, this one took more than an hour because we said much more. But basically, it's a simple-minded question. Is there a Rademeister style description for ribbon two knots in R4? And if so, is it the one given here? Okay? So that's an open problem. So strictly speaking, I will be constructing a theory of invariance of W stuff, of a formal algebraic stuff, namely of, you know, a list of generators modulo a bunch of relations. Strictly speaking, it has nothing to do with topology. It's completely algebra. Okay? But assuming the conjecture that this is one-to-one, then this is an isomorphism, and I'm also describing something in topology. Furthermore, even not assuming that this is one-to-one, since I do know that this map is well-defined, if I have invariance of this invariant Z into some space AW, then it's in particular an invariant of knots. So whatever I do is good enough as invariance of knots, conjecturally good enough as invariance of two knots in R4, but there is a gap. And the gap is a significant conjecture. Are you with me? Is this okay? Good. So now let's start talking about invariance. So, basically, I want to look at invariance. Well, I define finite type invariance in exactly the same way as before. Everything okay? Okay.
wonder if you have thoughts about proving these things one-to-one with Morse theory or surf theory or something like that, you would imagine?
Anybody smarter than me would do it in 20 seconds, maybe, but...
But doesn't Morse theory, surf theory see the sense of
it?
No?
I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, surf theory in particular. Yeah, absolute surf theory seems to be the way to quite attack it.
So, no, there, okay, let's talk later. I mean, I could tell you why it's more difficult than it seems, but maybe not right now. It's a Rademeister style theorem, but it's not proven, it cannot be proven the way the Rademeister theorem is proven. No, not now. Not now. Okay. But of course, I will be absolutely elated if by the end of the hour you find a proof, or by the end of the week, because it will mean that I really am talking about 2D and not conjecturally talking about 2D in R4. Okay? Anyway, so from this point on, I will work with this algebraic gadget, and often I will interpret things in 4D, but it will be just for my amusement. Strictly speaking, I will be working with an algebraic gadget. So anyway, suppose you have an invariant V going from the W world into some abelian group A. So, you know, I'm being loose here. When I say the W world, it could mean any of many, I could mean, basically it would be the same definition whether I talk about just knottings of circles, which are allowed to have virtual points, or if I talk about knottings, long knots, or if I talk about knotted graphs and I allow vertices, or if I talk about the smooth vertices, it could mean many things, and it's irrelevant which one I mean because the definition will be the same. I can define it, I can extend it to sort of knots with double points. Okay? But the extension now will be different. So basically I will define finite type using the same extension, the same procedure, differentiate n times, etc., except that the differences will not be the differences between over and under, but instead the difference between over and none. Not double point, none, virtual. Okay? So the thing that I differentiate with respect to is the difference between flying through or flying side by side. The reason why this is better than over minus under is because, there will be better reasons later, but the temporary reason why this is better is because, you see, going from over to under is an unknotting move for U knots. You can get from any knot to any other knot by a sequence of moves like that. So in fact, this single move means that you can move from anything to anything else if you iterate it, okay? For W knots, it is not true that you can get from anything to anything. What's going on here? I don't know, that's not a knot, but... what? For W knots, it is not true that you can get from any knot to any other knot if you just do over to under. Because, for example, no amount of over to under will ever create a virtual crossing. And in fact, if you look at virtual knots minus over equal to under, you don't get a single point set for ordinary knots, if you look at ordinary knots minus over modulo over is equal to under, you get a one-point set. For virtual knot, you don't get a one-point set, but you get the theory of flat knots, which Karine hopefully will be talking about on Thursday, at least a little bit. Okay? So you... But anyway, so this is the basic move. And now the corresponding diagram space, so sort of W diagrams, the thing that replaces chord diagrams, will be so. Again, it's a bit hard to be committed, because I wasn't committed about which space of knots I'm talking about. So let me pretend that I was talking about the knotting of a skeleton, which is three tubes, okay, three long lines. But, you know, equally well, it could have been a circle. Equally well, it could have been a genus 2 surface, and a genus 2 surface you could write as the merging of two, or as a two pair of pans connected to each other. Okay? So it could have been any of the skeleta I could consider before. And then I need to indicate I need a chord diagram which will be a name for this difference. Okay? And that chord diagram will be an arrow going from the overside to the underside. And furthermore, there should be a sign on it, because this could be either a positive crossing or a negative crossing. Okay? So basically this will be represented by, I guess if I want to keep this the skeleton with the, so that it will connect to the rest of the knot in the same way, I will have to keep it twisted, but it will be represented by an arrow going from the over to the under, and since this is a negative crossing, it will have a minus sign on it. Okay? So basically, a general arrow diagram, so these are arrow diagrams, and a general arrow diagram on this skeleton will have many such arrows, each one with its own lovely sign, and going, you know, in various directions. This one was not an arrow. Okay? And an arrow diagram here will have several arrows, each one with a sign, and going in various directions. Okay? And basically for all other pictures just as well. Is it clear? Okay. So the next thing is I need to tell you what relations these arrow diagrams satisfy. So I'll start from, well, I'm doing them in random order. So largely I'm arguing by analogy to the U picture, and everything can be just, the proofs are also by analogy. So in the U picture, there was a relation saying that, basically coming from pulling out a lasso. Okay? So, I don't know what it... In fact, the same relation makes sense, but it takes a bit time to interpret. So let me tell you about a different relation. So, if you have a virtual crossing and a lasso around it, you could pull it out. This is overcrossings commute. Okay, that's a variant of overcrossings commute. Is it clear?
Can I ask a question about the previous diagram?
Yeah.
When you use the brick...
Oh, no, I did it wrong. Sorry. Yeah.
When you use the brick diagram, could you omit the plus and minus?
Here?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Okay.
But I will be able to omit the plus and minus in 22 seconds or so. No, not 22, a little more. You know what? Maybe I should have started with omitting the plus and minus. Okay? So, here is a little claim. So let me do it here. So claim an arrow with a plus is equal to the negative of an arrow with a minus. So basically, every time you see an arrow with a minus, you can replace it by minus an arrow with a plus. So from that point on, you can just use only arrows with pluses, and from that point on, I'll just fail to put signs on the arrows, because I'll assume that if I didn't put a sign on the arrow, it's a plus arrow. Okay? So what do I really mean by that? I mean, what does this really mean? Okay? It means that let me give you a proof of this. Okay? So, proof, this is Rademeister 2. Rademeister 2 implies this. So, suppose I have a knot with you know, maybe I should have given a name for this alternation. So for the difference between over and under, well, it was called a double point. Here, I should call it a double point, but I should remember which one was upper, so I'll make it, so I'll use the Polyak's notation, and I'll write I'll write it as an overcrossing with a further circle on it. So an overcrossing with a further circle in it means the difference between this and that. Okay? So suppose you have a knot which has... I meant it to be a Rademeister 2. So suppose you have a knot that has in it a pair of singular points or differentiations that look like this. Okay? And further, m minus 2, and a further m minus 2 double points elsewhere. Okay? And suppose I compute v on such a knot. Okay? By definition, v on such a knot becomes the m minus 2 or m minus 1? M minus 1. Yes, m minus 1, sorry. So v of such a knot is v of this, okay? Oi, What am I doing? I'm sorry. I'm doing something silly, whatever I'm doing.
Lunch break.
What?
Lunch break, maybe.
Lunch break? No, I mean it's. Is it time for lunch break?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a very embarrassing place to stop.
You could start with saying B of two sides of R2 is the same, and then expand the real crossings as sum of virtual and the semi-virtual, and see that the 0 degrees cancel.
Yeah, I think I'll do it after the break. You're right. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. It's truly an embarrassing place to stop, but okay. So, I guess see you after the break.